What's up, Vermillion? We are live today! Oh, yeah. This is pretty cool, man. I'll tell you what, if I haven't met you before, my name is John Jacobs. I'm the campus pastor here. And I want you guys to know I love being your campus pastor, man. It has been awesome getting to know you all. I love working with my man, Jason, who just brings it and worship. Isn't it amazing how God works through this guy, man? Love him. A homeboy, and Kara, who is killing it down in children's ministry. If you got a kid here, man, she is rocking it out, doing great. Let's give her a hand too, man. So this is a cool day for me, man, just to be up here, be live with you guys. I got my preaching Adidas on. I'm ready to go. But every time that I get the opportunity to do this, at some point during my prep, I start thinking about one of the main reasons that brought Danette and I here and our family here to Open Door. And it has just been amazing to sit under the teaching and the preaching of our head leader, pastor, teacher, awesome brother, Jim Minling. And man, every week, guys, it is amazing how he just brings it to that epic, crazy level, how God just speaks through him. Aren't we privileged to have this man as our leader? And he's here today, and he's trying to make me real nervous, man. So we are, and it's great. So, well, I'm excited about where we're at. We're in this really cool series about when Jesus, and today we're talking about when Jesus challenges you. That's our topic for today. So I want to start with a question. I want you guys to think about something. If there was a way that you could know for sure how you were gonna die, would you want to know? No. Some of you were like, no, thank you. No, I don't want to know. But listen, man, think about it. Like, there's some person that's 100% accurate. They can tell you. They stick it in an envelope, slide it across the table to you. And you're not going to know the day. You're not going to know the time. You're just going to know how. Would you want to know? How hard would your hands be shaking just thinking about it? It's in there, man. How I'm gonna die. Do you think it would change the way that you lived? I mean, if you opened up that envelope and it says, it's gonna be a heart attack, do you think you'd be kicking it at Burger King after service today? You might be thinking, let me just add on a little time here. I know it's coming, but it doesn't need to be today. You know, if you open up that envelope and it's like death by tsunami, let's cancel the beach vacation this summer, baby. Going to the mountains. Would it change your life? Would it change your life to know how you were going to die? Well, let me ask you this. What if on that you would know somehow, would it be hard for you to imagine, in addition to how you die, that when you die, where you're at right now, where you're at in your walk with Jesus, that somehow when you die, your life is going to bring glory to God. Would that be hard for you to think of? That God could use you like that? As you're thinking about that, I want to invite you to turn into our passage today. We're in John 21. We are counting down, people. We are getting there, man, toward the end of John. We started back in 1982. We're almost there, man. It's the 2020 vision, people. We're going to be done. So we're in John 21. We are at the very end. So listen, before we get into this, I just want to take a minute and reset the stage so we know where we're at in this scene. So if you remember, if you're here last week, Jesus now, we're beyond the crucifixion. We're back. He's been resurrected from the dead. This is now the third time that he has appeared to his disciples. Three different times he's appeared to them. If you remember correctly, Peter and the boys decided they didn't really know what to do. So what did they do? They went out fishing. They went out fishing, caught nothing all night. And all of a sudden they see this guy on the beach. He's like, throw your net on the other side. They do. They catch all this fish. They're like, dude, that's Jesus. Peter jumps into water. They come up. Remember, Jesus had breakfast there for him. You remember this scene? And what happened? This beautiful scene of reinstatement, this beautiful scene of reconciliation. Jesus has this charcoal fire going there, just like that charcoal fire that Peter was warming himself by when he denied Jesus three times. And Jesus lovingly, mercifully reinstates this guy, draws him back in. Remember, we're asking Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Three different times. Yes, Jesus. Feed my sheep. It was beautiful, wasn't it? So that's right where we are right now. That's just gone down. So I want to invite you guys to stand. We're going to read these few verses. If you got your old people glasses like me, put them on. Hey, listen, by the way, we have Bibles in the back. If you ever need one when you come in, we love God's Word, and we want you to have one. So grab one on your way out. You know, if you need one, grab one right now. John 21, starting at verse 18. Jesus speaking to Peter. Very truly, Peter, I'm going to tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself, you went where you wanted. But listen, when you're old, you will stretch out your hands. Somebody else, not you, somebody else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. John's hawking him, man. John's just hanging in the background there. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, Jesus, what about him? What about John?" Jesus is amazing. Jesus answered, "Peter, if I want him to remain alive until I return," capture this line, "what is that to you? You, Peter, you must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple, John, would not die. But Jesus didn't say that he wouldn't die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This, John, this is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. And everybody, look, we got one tiny little verse left there for next week, man. Okay? So y'all can have a seat. One verse left, man. Pastor Jim's going to challenge himself, make that a year-long series, man. You know he can do it. You know he can do it. So, you guys are messing me up on my train of thought, man. It's an interesting passage, and I want y'all to just take a look here, because, again, we're in this series, When Jesus Challenges You, right? And I got this crazy picture up there. That's what we're talking about today, but my subtext is this, okay? When Jesus challenges you, man, my sermon title, it's a stretch. This is actually a real dude. His name's Gary Turner. He's got some weird, like, collagen disorder where his, like, skin doesn't stick together. Homeboy can pull his stomach skin out 6 inches. Got nothing to do with my sermon, but I thought the picture was really cool. Really cool. So anyhow, so let me get started on this. And I want to ask you guys, are you an honest person? Do you tell the truth? And I'm having problems with my clicker, so yeah, I'm going to look at my boy Steven from time to time and have him help me out. Are you a person that tells the truth? I'd like to think that I am. I'm a fairly honest guy. I'd like to hope that most of the people in my life are pretty honest people. Right? Do you want to be known as an honest person? But really, if we are really honest, a lot of us, we probably tell more fibs than we like to. Okay? Let me just put this in perspective for you. Okay? Anybody get a text last night, maybe even this morning, certainly last week, someone sent you some cute little thing that their kid did or a little joke or something? And what did you text back in complete silence? LOL. Did you actually laugh out loud? No, you didn't laugh out loud, but you LOL'd them on your text, right? Just a little fibsky, but it's there nonetheless. How about this one? This one gets me all the time. You're scrolling through something because you're trying to buy something online or get into a new website thing, something like that. And we know nowadays there's these crazy legal things, right? But at the bottom, there's this little skip ahead thing that says, by clicking this box, you agree that you have read and agreed to the above terms. Check. I'm not going to sit there and read those things, right? I'm not completely honest with that. Isn't that how we are, guys? You know, these things, I guess, you know, maybe they're not a huge deal. But we're talking about a conversation that Peter's having with somebody that is completely honest, always. Don't you know Peter knows this to be true? Whatever this man speaks happens. He's even now raised himself from the dead. So it's important as we get into the context of this conversation that God's having with us today, we need to know this, that when Jesus challenges you, he tells the truth. He tells the truth. I mean, that's one of his names, right? He is the truth. And for me, what's interesting is this. Like, if I had just had this moment with Peter, and of course, I'm not Jesus, but the scene, the way I imagine it, he has this reinstatement. He has this reconciliation. He's drawn Peter back into ministry, letting him know, hey, I forgive you. Everything's cool. I would just kind of want to chill right there, right? Okay, we're on the beach, so maybe, hey, guys, let's play a little beach volleyball right now, man. Celebrate. We're going to do a little walking on water lesson later because I'm good at that. I'm going to show you guys how to do that. And hey, you don't even know what this stuff is yet, but we got an ice cream sundae bar behind me, man. It's amazing, okay? It's called Moose Tracks. You're going to love it. No, it's not what Jesus does. He doesn't choose to celebrate. Instead, he takes Peter on this walk and he begins talking to him about going someplace he doesn't want to go. And the fact that he was going to die for following Jesus. What's got to be going through Peter's mind knowing that he's with someone that always tells the truth? You know, something that's important for us to know, guys, is that following is hard. Following is hard. Isn't it? I mean, there's no way that you would read this book and come up with any other conclusion other than there's a lot of things about following Jesus, following God, that are very, very difficult. One thing right off the bat, I love how Jesus addresses actually is part of the reasons it's difficult because the way we were all raised, things that we were born into. Isn't it interesting that Jesus takes time to address how Peter was when he was a little boy, when he was younger? Maybe that's even referring to right now. Maybe he's talking about the fact that, you know, Peter wanted to go fishing, so he just went fishing. Maybe Peter now has it in his mind that maybe this is what's going to happen. I'm going to become this great fisherman. I mean, after all, I can go and do whatever I want to do, right? Isn't this what we do with young kids? This is what happened in my life. This is one of the favorite pictures I have of my little guy. That's my little man, Jack. And trust me, people, this was not Halloween. My man was Batman every single day that he had that thing, okay? If we were going shopping, Batman was coming shopping. If we were going to the park, Batman was coming to the park with us. If we were going to church, well, Batman wasn't coming to church because Mama wasn't having that, okay? We put the church clothes on. But Batman went everywhere else, and I loved that. That time of life, I love watching him go around and zapping people and doing his little crazy Batman stuff, you know? Because when you're little, this is what we do with kids. We want them to dream big, right? But how weird would it be? My dude's 22 now, my boy Jack. How weird would it be if he came in here right now as a 22-year-old man, just like Batman Beyond? He'd be like, this dude has lost his mind. Why? Because at some point, we all got to grow up, don't we? We all got to grow up into what God has called us to be. It's one of those fundamental facts of life. At some point, I'm like, dude, we gotta put Batman away. Because I want my kids to know a lesson that hopefully you all know. I mean, following Jesus hard, life is hard, isn't it? I mean, this is one of these essential facts that people don't seem to grasp anymore. In a world that strives to have everything be easy with iPhones and drive-thrus, we forgot that life itself, man, is hard. You don't believe me? Get a job. Jobs are hard, aren't they? Waking up and going to school, doing your homework, it's hard, man. You want to find out what's hard? Get married, people. It's hard. And then have some kids. Life is hard. I love this quote by Audrey Hepburn. She says, life is hard. After all, it kills you. It kills you. Wise people know this. Listen, there's a time to be sympathetic when we're talking to people. There's a time to be understanding. They're just going through a rough patch. But some people just need to understand, man, life is hard. And some of us as followers need to understand that following Jesus can be very hard. Have you looked at some of the stuff that Jesus has asked people to do? Some of the things that he has said to people? Just a short glance through the Gospels will show you guys some of the things he's talking about. He says, hey, listen, tell them to people, don't think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. There's this part in Matthew where a young man wants to follow him. He's like, Jesus, I'm into this. Yes, I'm going to come. I'm going to follow you. But at first, I gotta get back. I got to do some stuff with the folks. I got to take care of some funeral arrangements. And Jesus says, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Is this our loving, easy to follow Jesus? That's a hard saying. You remember the time when he had a big crowd with him there in John, and they are loving this teaching, man. They're loving the miracles. Things are growing. The disciples are like, check it out, Jesus. A lot of people following. And Jesus drops this little bomb on him, man. You want to follow me, guys? By the way, you want to keep doing what we're doing here? I want you to know something. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you cannot be my disciple. You can't follow me. Dude, bunch of people peaced out right then and there, man. Forget it. They said, that is a hard saying. Who can endure it? They left. Jesus wondered if the disciples were even going to leave. Jesus said some hard things. I take men that I'm discipling into Luke 14 all the time. That's that passage where Jesus is talking about, unless a man hates his father, mother, brother, sister. Man, unless you hate your own life, you can't be my disciple. You want to follow me? Sit down. Count the cost. See, salvation is a free gift from God, and it's beautiful and it's amazing, guys. Following Jesus is a life and death proposition. It will cost you everything. And that's what Jesus is letting Peter know here. Peter, the cost for you? Execution, man. Again, you're going to die. So how does Peter respond? Come on, we know our boy Peter, right? The Rocky music kicks in. Peter's all hyped up like, yeah, Jesus, I got this, baby. Beheading? No big deal. They're going to stone me? I'm Peter. I'm the rock. Bring it on, baby. No problem. Peter's had a humbling now, hasn't he? He ain't getting all cocky like he used to. But it's interesting what he says. He says what a lot of us would say, right? What about John? Jesus, what? I'm going to die? What about John? What's he saying, man? It's not fair. And that's another important part, guys, about following. The challenge of following Jesus is it's not fair. And thank God it's not fair. I mean, think about it. Did God ever come and ask you to sit down and build a boat because he's going to flood the whole earth and it's going to take you 100 years to do it? It's not fair. That was Noah's job, man. You know, did anyone ever place a bet with the devil about your righteousness and how good you were living, and they came and took everything away to see how you would respond and keep following God or not following God? That's what happened to Job, right? You remember that story? Was that fair? Have you ever been through that? None of these stories are the same, guys. It's not even Stephen. That's what we want. That's what some of us have even heard, man. You start following Jesus, there's one package. It's the premium package, man. It's get rich, no pain, no suffering, all good in the hood. And it's just not what it says in here. It's not fair at times. And we sit here, and what happened in that passage is what happened to us. What did Peter do? He's walking with Jesus. He's talking with Jesus. Jesus is talking to him. He's focusing on him. And Peter did what? He turned. He noticed. He saw. He starts doing what so many of us do. He plays the compare game. Have you been there? Oh, dude, I have lived in the compare game. You know, you're sitting there in your own life thinking about your own lot, and you're looking at everybody else every time you open up Facebook. People doing better than me. Everybody on Instagram having a better life than I'm having. Man, God, what about these guys? And the whole time, God and Jesus are trying to talk to us and having a conversation with us, and we're so busy looking at everybody else. You know how it goes, man. You come here, you hear this message, God's moving, His word is speaking because it's alive and active, the music's hitting you, you leave, you're ready to follow Jesus, I will give up everything for you, and it's Sunday night, and you're sitting there, and you open up Instagram, and there they are. Oh yeah. Bill and Tina made the mistake of pulling up their page. Barbados again, third year in a row. Kids are out riding the dolphins, their fave. Hubby and I planning on a sunset dinner on the beach tonight with a solo violinist. Hashtag so blessed. Right? And what are you doing? You're sitting there with your Totino's pizza. Cheese only, no pepperoni because you can't afford that. Redbox, DVD, SpongeBob, by the way, because your kids aren't riding dolphins, they're riding each other because they're crazy and you're trying to keep them contained. And you're looking at their life and you're comparing where they're at, which usually isn't even reality, guys, and thinking, God, what about me, man? What about them? If you've been there, God, if I could just have this guy's bank account, you know, I know, God, I would follow you if you would bless me like that. Man, God, if you would fix my marriage, if I had a spouse like this person had, oh, baby, I would follow you to the end. But it's just not fair, right? That's what he's saying. So Peter comes here, and he's saying, you know, Jesus, what about him, man? I mean, why do I got to be the one to die? What's going to happen with them? Takes all the focus off Jesus, points it on John, and Jesus, I love again what he says because he deals in the truth. And he's like, Peter, are you serious, man? What about John? What is that to you? Really, what Jesus is asking, guys, he's asking Peter, he's asking us, what about me? I mean, we were walking. We were talking. I need you right here, man. Peter, what about me? Guys, think, remember, this is when Jesus is resurrected from the dead. They saw the nail prints in his hands. And it's like, geez, like, Peter, have you forgotten? You want to talk about John? What about me? What about what I've done for you? Because the truth of it is this, guys. Everything, wherever we've been at life, where everything God has held out on us, whatever we think is too hard, whatever we think isn't fair, we need to remember something we've talked about before. And that's this. The truth is, Jesus went first. He's standing with the man who has denied him. He's forgiven him. He's reconciled him. And it's kind of like, Peter, I need you looking at me because I need you to remember. You want to talk about hard? How hard your life is? Think about how hard it would be to be the immortal, eternal God. To have no beginning, no end. And to love someone so much, to come down, to put on flesh, to become fully human and yet still fully God. And live in a sinful place where you're going to be rejected, denied, and come do it. How hard would that be? We don't know. Were Joseph and Mary good parents? Did Jesus get bullied in class? Acne? We have no idea how hard it would be for God to come down, the incarnation, take on flesh and do that. And talking about what's fair? I mean, Jesus went to the cross. Was it fair when they falsely accused him of these things? Was it fair when they ripped out the hair in his beard and spit in his face? Was it fair when they jammed the crown on his head and punched the nails in his hand? Was it fair? Guys, that's why it's so important. We can't get distracted by other people. We can't get distracted by ourselves when we look at Jesus because Jesus went first. This is an integral truth of the Bible and of walking with Jesus. There's this beautiful passage in Hebrews 11 talking about people that have walked in this faith, people that have put their faith and hope in Jesus. And there's these nameless people at the end. They're nameless, man. We don't even know who they are, but they've tells us they've been tortured for their faith. They were beaten for their faith. They were imprisoned, and they counted it glory. It said some of them were sawed in half. We don't even know who they are. And I love God's word. What it says in there is this, that they're now all up in heaven, man. They're up in heaven. They're called this great cloud of witnesses. And they're looking down on you, and they're looking down on me, and they're hoping we're all in with Jesus because they know it's worth it. They know it's worth it. It tells us this amazing truth. It says this is what we're supposed to do as believers. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We're not playing the compare game. We're not fixing it on our boss. We're not fixing it on our bank account. We're not fixing it on our addiction. We're not fixing it on our marriage. We fix our eyes on Jesus. The pioneer, what's a pioneer, man? He's a trailblazer. He's the one that went first. He's the pioneer and perfecter of faith. I fix my eyes on that. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Bob, two houses down. Consider your coworkers at the office. No, consider him. Consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you, so that me, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. Isn't that what the comparison game does? You sit there and you're scrolling and you're flipping or you're listening and you're just like, ah. Oh. And we fix our eyes on Jesus. We consider him. We don't grow weary. We don't lose heart. We know what life is all about then. That's what it's all about. I love this quote from Bob Goff. It says, listen, we won't be distracted. We won't be distracted by comparison if we are captivated with purpose. And hopefully if you've been coming to Open Door, you know our purpose, man. That's we are leading people in the adventure becoming like Jesus, where we can just love God and love people, man. That's the purpose for our life. And when we understand what he did for us, we're captivated by that, and we're not distracted by everything else in the world. Because the truth is, guys, it's not just about death. The truth that Jesus is leading us to, help me, Stephen. The truth is freedom. That's what it is. When you can get past looking at everything else, looking at everyone else, the truth is what Jesus is offering here through this whole thing to Peter, to us, is freedom. Freedom from what? Well, again, freedom from others. That's freedom from others. You know how beautiful it is to sit down and not envy other people's lives because you understand and know what you have in Jesus? What is available through his blood? What was given to us at the cross and the life from his resurrection? I don't have to think and worry about what everyone else thinks of me because I know what God thinks of me. I know what Jesus has said about me. It sets me free from other people, free from them. And one of the best things is it sets me free from me. How many of you stand in front of a mirror and honestly sit there in shame and condemnation, constantly rehearsing the same tape in your head? What's wrong with me? When will I ever get it together? And by dying to that, living in Jesus, we're set free from me, man. It's a beautiful thing to stand there and know somehow, through what Jesus has done, through the finished work of Jesus, that he likes what he sees. That he's made me holy and blameless and pure. And I don't have to go around and spin in my head all day about what I think of me or what others think of me. I've been set free from that. And therefore, I've been set free from fear. I've been set free from fear. Because again, John, the same author in another book, is to say, you know, you want to know why? Because we've experienced perfect love. Not just love, but perfect love. The way Jesus loves us. It says perfect love casts out all fear. What do I got to be afraid of today? What's the worst thing that can happen to me, man? Our subject today, death. That's the worst thing that can happen to me. Well, listen, if I get to live today, if God lets me live, I get to go be Jesus. And if I die, I get to go be with Jesus. So I'm free from all fear in my life. It's a beautiful thing, guys. It's about freedom. Because following is dying. It is dying. Let's be clear here. Jesus is telling the truth. It's what he's talking to Peter about. It's what he's talking to us about. Peter's actually going to die, but in order to get there, just like us, we got to die to self. We got to die to all those things we wanted when we were little kids that some of us are still holding on to now, to follow him. We die so we can live. Again, the offer is life. And going back to our original idea, wouldn't it seem like it'd be a stretch, right, for Jesus to invite Peter into this, the one that denied him? I mean, who's to say he's not going to run again, like the coward that he was at Calvary? It seems like a stretch, doesn't it, that Jesus would boldly proclaim, I need you to follow me, because your life, your death is going to bring God glory. And Peter would die. Tradition has it that Peter was about around 64 AD, as history books state, in Nero's reign, when they were coming after Christians, that Peter was taken and he was crucified. If what history states is right. And he said he didn't feel worthy to be crucified the same way as Jesus. He has to be crucified upside down. Just like Jesus stated. And it seems like a stretch again that Jesus would choose that man. So how did it flip? How did the coward become courageous? How did the one that flee now become a follower? How did that happen? What was the switch? Peter proclaimed all these things before, didn't he? What's happening now? I think it's real interesting when we look back at our passage here, some things as I was going through this that God was showing me. And so we see again, this is the conversation that Jesus is having with Peter. And he tells him what? He tells him what someone else is going to do, that someone else will dress you. And someone else will lead you where you don't want to go. Peter, shortly after Jesus is resurrected to heaven, will be dressed in something all right with the rest of the disciples. The power of God. In fact, in Luke, Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem. Wait. Wait there until you are clothed with power from on high. Isn't it beautiful, the wording of God's word sometimes, man? Clothed with power from on high. Someone else is going to dress you. Holy Spirit, man. And the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to lead you, Peter. It's going to lead you. But what's interesting to me is this. What's Peter's part in this? And for me, we see a clue right there with it's stretching out your hands. Again, it's pretty clear to see when you talk to most people, well, what does this look like? Hands stretched out, crucifixion, a clear sign. It's what a lot of people think, and it would certainly seem that would be the case. It's how Peter died, Jesus is alluding to, but I think there's more here. As I was looking at it, that Greek word there, hands, of course means hands, but it means a couple other things too it can refer to. I actually said it also is referring to like your power, your person, your control. This is about surrender, isn't it? Isn't that what we do with our hands? We've talked about this even in worship, how we stretch out our hands. And what I love, if you look again, who's going to do that? Who's going to stretch out your hands? Peter, you will. Peter, that's what you're going to do. You're going to stretch out your hands. You're going to surrender. I find it fascinating that in this conversation, we never hear Peter say, yeah, I got this. Yeah, I'm going to do this. Remember, Peter is the loudmouth. He's the guy proclaiming all sorts of things. Nothing else is said. The days of saying things are done. He's in this place now, surrender. Again, Peter has no idea when the day is going to come. He just knows it's going to happen. And he has a choice to wake up every day and say, God, if today is the day, I got to give my life for you. I stretch out my hands. And I give it to you. Let today be for your glory. And we read these beautiful things about Peter living it the rest of his days out, preaching to thousands, healing people, doing incredible things for the kingdom, loving people like Jesus, drawing people into the kingdom of God, surrendering every day. It's going to be 30 years roughly until he dies. Every day he wakes up and stretches out his hand. God, it's for you. It's all about you. Do you know anybody like that? I had the privilege to have a front row seat to someone lived in this kind of surrender. Someone that decided to give every day of their life to God. My dad, Jack Jacobs, was my son's named after. And incredible man. He was a Bible-banging Baptist preacher. And gave his whole life to God. And my dad retired somewhere in his late 60s. Just retired for a couple years, and we found out that he had cancer. Came on suddenly, pretty bad, lung, liver, brain cancer. We knew he wasn't going to make it through that. And I'll never forget coming up. He had been hospitalized for a little bit. Came up to see him. He wasn't doing good, and he was sitting over in the corner. The nurses had put him up in there, and he's... reading his Bible. That's what my dad did, man. Dying of cancer, sitting in the corner, just reading his Bible. Came in, said, "Hey." I said, "Dad, what are you reading?" He said, I'm reading about Leah. You know who Leah is in the Bible? She was a lady that was basically given to a man as a trick at a wedding. His name was Jacob. He had wanted another bride. Her name was Rachel. His father-in-law gave him Leah instead, and it said in there in the Bible that Leah was unloved. And my dad's sitting there, and he's reading about Leah. He's got these big tears dripping down his face. I said, "Dad, what's wrong, man?" He said, "John, I love that God loves the unlovable. It says in this book that he looked down and he loved Leah." And he just starts weeping, man. And he said, "John, if God didn't love Leah, my king, my Jesus, would never have been born because he came from her." And I thought, how does someone that's going through all of this in their life right now sit down and still read these stories, still immerse themselves so much in the kingdom and the love of God, to have that type of commitment? It's like my heart broke open. It was like water to my soul. And my dad just had probably another month left, and he was gone. And I remember at his funeral just standing there, person after person walking by. Nobody was talking about his golf game. Nobody was talking about his financial investments. Nobody was talking about the fact that he was a really bad joke teller, because he really was. In essence, everyone said the same thing. "I knew your dad, and your dad lived a life that brought glory to God." And I knew at that moment how I wanted to lay in that box. I knew the hope that I wanted, because it was the love that they saw in my dad, because he loved God so much. And they knew he loved God because of how he loved them. People lined up around the building. "This is how your dad loved me in the toughest time of my life. This is how your dad was Jesus to me when everyone had given up on me, man." And my dad never complained when he was going through about that. "This wasn't fair. God, I gave my whole life to you. And at the end, I'm going to die of cancer. I never got to retire and go down to the Caribbean." My dad never got to see me really fully walk with God. And he died smiling, knowing, confident that he let everything go, that he surrendered it, to have a life that brought glory to God. V-Town, what about you? What about you? Let's go back to our original question. Would it be a stretch to think that God could use you? Right where you're at, right now, who you are, your story, your circumstances, all of it, to bring glory to his name through your death, through your life. And the way we die giving God glory is by living a life that gives God glory. So what are you holding on to today? What is it? I want you to take a minute and think about what it is, that thing that's holding you back from the challenge of following Jesus. Something in your relationship with your spouse. I would just follow you, Jesus, if. Can you let it go? Something with your children, something that's been happening recently, something that's been happening for years that you've been holding on to. And Jesus is asking you right now, give it to me. Give it to me. Surrender to me. Follow me. What is it that you're holding on to? Can you give it up today to follow him? And for me, it's as simple as this at times and as hard as this. I think of these comparisons. I think of the things that have and haven't been done in my life. And they're very real, aren't they? All of these things. Some of you know them right now. You know what's holding you back. And I've got to think, I've only got today. I don't know if I have tomorrow. So today, God, whatever this is, this thing, I don't want it to hold me back. So I'm going to let it go for the glory of God. It's yours. You can have it. It's not mine. I stretch out my hand to bring you glory. So, Father, today that is our prayer. God, I thank you so much for this community of people that have come here hungry for your word, God. Hungry to be transformed. Hungry to be renewed in you, God. And I know right now out there, there are people that are struggling, God, with something that's holding them back from following Jesus. Holy Spirit, reveal right now. Reveal what it is. That issue in the marriage right now. I don't know if I can go one day further because I feel like I'm going to die. God, in Jesus' name, let him drop it at your feet right now. Not because it's not important, not because you don't care, because it's not theirs to carry. God, there are people right now with issues with their children. Addiction issues, rebellion issues, anger issues, and they've been holding on to it. God, if you would just change this. And you're trying to talk to them. Jesus, I pray that they hear your voice. What is that to you right now? I need you to follow me. That's how I'm trying to speak to your children, through your surrendered life, through your forgiveness of them. Through your willingness to stay and love them as a parent and not give up. And God, that they just drop it and let it go and follow you. I pray for people that have issues about themselves, God, thoughts they've thought of themselves about their own addiction, about their own looks, about their own finances. These things that are so real in America, God, that they can just know, Jesus, your voice. This is who you are to me. You are beautiful. You are my chosen one. I love you. Look at me. Listen to me. Follow me. Holy Spirit. Do what you do and take us back to the cross. Let us know without fail that Jesus is enough to go everywhere we don't want to go. Lead us there. Guide us there. God, let us die to ourselves so we can live for you. Jesus, we have this amazing privilege and honor to pray this in your name because of what you did stretched out on the cross. What you did giving your life for us. And now we give ours back. We stretch our hands out to you and we pray in your name and we surrender in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.